Good afternoon. I hope everyone is doing well. As Paul said, my name is Katrina Davis, and I'm one of the assistant directors in the Career Center here at East Carolina. I'm excited to be able to share with everyone this afternoon. We're going to go ahead and get started, have quite a bit of information to share, and we'll have some time at the end for questions. So you'll be able to address any questions anyone has. In terms of preparing for an interview, there's a lot of different things to consider. One of the things that you should consider as you prepare for an interview is your specific interview goals. Throughout the presentation, you're going to hear the terms buyer and product or seller, and we approach the job search process or interviewing process with that in mind for the simple fact that as the job seeker, you're actually selling yourself. So one of the key things is, of course, learning how to market yourself effectively. So one of the things you want to determine is your goals for the interview. And so you want, of course, one of your goals would be to demonstrate your value, skills, and abilities to the potential employers, as well as identifying what their needs, problems, and challenges may be. And then depending on the particular process with that employer, they may have a second or perhaps in some cases a third interview as part of their process, and so that could potentially be one of your goals. And then, of course, what we all would strive for is to get the job offer. I'm on the next slide. Getting a job or the interview process is a sales process, as I mentioned before. You're the salesperson, and you're actually the product as well. You want the buyer or the potential employer to pay you a wage, a living wage, for your skills, knowledge, experience, and abilities. And in the job search process, when you start considering your resume and cover letters, those are actually tools to assist you in marketing yourself effectively. So, in fact, they serve as your advertising. And like with any sale, you're going to have to focus on the needs of the buyer and provide more value than other suppliers or other job seekers, okay? So the employers will only hire you if you can help them overcome whatever challenges they may be having to help meet a need that they have or to assist them in solving problems within their organization. In your preparation, you're going to have to review a job description to help you identify exactly what it is that they may need you to do. There's a website listed in the PowerPoint there for ONET, which is the Occupational Information Network. Some of you may be familiar with that. And that's where you can go to get a summary report for pretty much any occupation. It is a government website, so it lists more so from a generic format, but in really good detail, information about various occupations and the types of responsibilities and skill sets involved with those. One of the other things that's really important is to thoroughly research the employer. And working with students here on campus, that's a big fail when they don't research the employer. Just like with anything, you want to have as much information as possible so that you're equipped with the tools to assist you in your preparation for that interview. If, in fact, you've actually gotten an interview with an employer, that interview justifies you go ahead It justifies you going ahead and putting in the time and energy to learn as much as you can about that employer. You want to revisit your network and talk to people perhaps that you know that already work at that place, and also people that you know who may know people who work there, and then also people you don't know who may know people who work there. So networking, as we all know, is one of the more effective ways of, in some cases, even getting an interview. And, of course, in this case, assisting you with preparing for the interview, because you can sort of use your inside networks to give you information to assist you in preparing for that interview. One of the some of the things to consider as you research the employer, well, what do I need to know about the employer in my research? What is the size of the organization? Where is the facility located? Do they have multiple locations within the city or throughout the country, or are they international? Also, what types of clients or customers do they service? Do they have products? Do they actually provide products or services or both? And then what? Look at their market share. How are they doing in the marketplace within industry? And then also, do they have plans for expansion? Is it a mid-sized company, a small business? And then who are their primary competitors? those are going to be things really key to helping you as you prepare in terms of being able to market yourself strategically in a way to be able to answer questions throughout the interview as well. Some other things to consider are recent news items about the company. Could be good or bad in some cases. Try visiting their website to find out as much as you can. That's also a really good place to go to get a lot of information about the employer. Also consider looking for and reading through their annual reports. What other types of information might you be able to find in the media about them? News, within the news or in press releases. Perhaps you could request an informational interview with somebody that works in the organization. You could also check out periodicals. And then you want to try to identify the key decision makers at that company. Some resources that you could use to find some of those types of information are Reference USA and CareerInfo.net. Both of those links are linked onto the Career Center website, and you can access those databases via the Career Center website, which is at the end of the presentation. Based on what you learn about the employer, you're going to need to prepare yourself for the interview. Again, consider what are their needs, problems, and challenges, and what new product services have they initiated, and then what types of positions have they advertised in the last 6 months. Sometimes that can be helpful to you in seeing perhaps where they may have high turnover. That may be a red flag for, you know, more inquisitive, you know, questions that you may have, like, well, why is there high turnover in this area? It could be that they like to get people in, train them, and promote them. It could be that there's some other kind of issue in that area that they may or may not disclose to you. Relevant experiences. As you prepare for the interview, you want to look at the experiences that you have had and determine of those which ones are going to be relevant to this interview, and being able to share throughout the interview as closely as possible parallel to the job that you are now interviewing for, the things that sort of match up. So you're going to review your own accomplishments and achievements, and this could just be a matter of you sitting and either looking at a current resume that you have or jotting down some things maybe that you haven't added to your resume that you may want to elaborate on throughout the interview. Also look at projects that you may have completed, if you're a new graduate, coursework that you may have done, and then also review, again, the jobs that you had that relate to this new position and any other things that you might have done that might be important to the employer. If you're having a hard time remembering your accomplishments, then we have an exercise in our interviewing handout, which is, again, accessible through the Career Center website in our virtual handout cart. It's called the Sentence Completions Exercise, and it just essentially helps you remember things and jot things down relevant to your accomplishments. The best predictor of future performance is past behavior. With this knowledge or knowing this, one of the things that you can do to prepare for your interview is to remember past performances that you've had that are going to be suited in light of the types of questions the interviewer may ask you. A lot of interviewers do ask behavioral-based questions, and so knowing that going into the interview process, you can adequately prepare by using the SAC method. The SAC method is an acronym for situation, action, and consequence, and it's a method that essentially assists you with developing three-line sentences to tell a short story in a concise manner that clearly demonstrates to the employer your experience or what you'd be able to offer them. And an example is listed on the next PowerPoint slide there. It says, and the question is, describe a time when you had to make a difficult decision. So the S or the situation, the person responds, well, there was a group project where one person was not doing their share of work and they plagiarized their section of the project, the action they took. They had to determine the facts and be sure I had accurate information. I decided to confront them and to encourage them to confess. I told them that if they didn't do it, I would tell the professor myself. The consequence or result of that, the person confessed to their wrongdoing, they accepted responsibility for their behavior, and they apologized to the entire group, and the remainder of the group received an A on the project. This method, when applied effectively in the interview process, is super, super effective. It helps you to relate the question back to an experience you've had while also giving, you know, very clear information as to your behavior, how you think through, how you problem solve. Now, preparing for your audience. How you prepare for your interview should be based on the audience, who is going to be interviewing you. So one of the things you're going to probably want to do before the interview is to find out who is actually interviewing you. I often have had people come to my office in preparation for an interview, and they don't know who's interviewing them. So one of the things you want to do is get an itinerary of what your interview is going to be like. Some interviews may be 20 to 40 minutes, 45 minutes. In some instances, it could be a day-long interview where you're going to be there for several hours. So you want to find out the format of the interview and who you will be interviewing with. Is the interviewer, in fact, a decision maker or an HR representative? Is it a formal interview that you're going to be having, or is it maybe perhaps a little bit more informal? Okay. Questions for the interviewer. You want to prepare questions to have that you can ask them. I always tell people that the interview process is two-sided. So when you go into the interview, you need to be prepared because you're actually interviewing them in terms of, is this a place I see myself at that I could be comfortable in, that I can thrive in? So fit is definitely important. So as the job seeker, you own the right to also ask probing questions so that you can ensure that this is also going to be an appropriate fit for where you are in your career. So some of the things that you could ask them are about some of the projects they're working on. What kinds of problems or difficulties have they had? Any current projects where they had to overcome obstacles to complete it? Some additional ones are, how do the results of the department that you perhaps will be interviewing for, how do they affect the rest of the company? What are some of the services they'd like to offer but they can't right now? And what areas of the market hold potential for greater growth? That's going to give you a lot of good insight. As they respond to these questions, that's an opportunity for you to draw from skills or experiences you have where you might be able to, again, sell yourself in terms of, oh, well, I've had an experience like that and I've done this, and you could be able to potentially to do that for them. Some of the types of interviews for job openings. There's several different types of interviews. We're going to talk about a couple of those. One is the screening interview. Typically, this is going to be the first in a series of interviews. It's typically conducted in person, perhaps over the phone, or with so much technology these days, it could possibly even be done with a webcam. These types of interviews are used to determine whether or not the applicant meets the minimum qualifications for a posted position. Then there's the one-on-one interview. Most people are familiar with this format. It's pretty common. It could be conducted by either a human resources representative or a supervisor. The focus of the interview is on questions that relate to the position that the employer is trying to fill. Then there's the panel interview. This one is usually one that makes people a little bit nervous. This is where you could possibly have three or more people, and the panelists could come from different departments. Generally, they're going to be asking questions that are relative to their department and to the demands of the job. And then there are phone interviews. These a lot of times are done in some cases for people who are, you know, maybe out of state or at a distance where it'll be more convenient to do the interview via phone. Key things with the phone interviews are to be sure that you're prepared, meaning you've done the same preparation for the phone interview as you would have for the face-to-face. Be prepared for the unexpected things like you probably wouldn't want to do the phone interview on a cell phone because you could lose your signal. You want to be prepared for any kind of interruptions you could possibly have during the interview, loud background noises, things of that nature. You want to be professional, be personable, and smile while you talk. You can hear most of the time whether or not the person is smiling. I don't know how many of you may have heard that before, but when you smile when you talk on the phone, you sound a lot nicer. And since the interviewers can't actually see your smiling face while you're doing that phone interview, you want to come across as interested, as warm, and as personable as possible. And so smiling while you talk is important during a phone interview. One of the things you'll want to also prepare is a power greeting. Power greeting is essentially a 30-second commercial where you present your education and related coursework, or if you've had some work experience, you want to present your relevant education and related work experiences. Also, any experience you've had in the field, outside of work, possibly internships, co-ops, volunteer, or any other related projects, and then you highlight your strengths, what it is that you do best. And there's a sample power greeting there. I have a bachelor's degree in merchandising from East Carolina University and have taken a number of courses in product promotions and store layout. I have worked at two retail department stores, JCPenney and TJ Maxx, and last fall I completed an internship at Belk Stores in the Raleigh Regional Office. I really enjoy helping customers select the right outfits, and I'm particularly good at developing creative windows and in-store displays. Okay. Now, the power greeting could also be used for one of the interview questions that actually catches people off guard sometimes, and that question is generally the first question in the interview where they simply ask you or say to you, tell us about yourself. Okay, so the power greeting could actually serve in that capacity as well. Some common interview questions. I'm not going to read through each of these. I'm going to go a little bit quicker through some of these slides. If you had a chance to review the PowerPoint yesterday, I'm sure you saw that it was pretty long. And I'm going to pause here to take a drink of water because my throat is getting kind of dry. So excuse me. Okay. So the common interview questions, you have the one, tell me about yourself. And then, how have your educational and work experiences prepared you for this position? Why are you the best person for the job? Those are questions that you can sometimes think you know what you're going to say, but unless you actually sit and write it down, you don't know. Your mind might go away from you during the interview, and you say, oh, I thought I was going to say this, or I meant to say that. You actually want to write down the responses to these questions. Some other ones include, you know, what do you know about that particular organization? And what aspects of the job interest you? What are some of your short and long-term career goals? What are the biggest problems you encountered? It could be in college if you're a recent grad or in your career at this point. And then how did you deal with those? And what did you learn from them? Some additional questions. Of course, we know the strengths, greatest strengths and greatest weaknesses question always makes people nervous. And then you may or may not have had this, you know, at this point in your career, but what do you do when the employer asks you, what kind of salary do you expect to make? Okay, so that one can throw people off as well. And we have some information in here where we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Preparation is key. You want to, again, prepare answers to overcome obvious liabilities or obstacles. Like, for example, if you know that they may be looking for someone with a little more experience, but maybe you don't have as much you might fear as other candidates. So if you prepare in advance to answer those types of questions, you're going to be a lot smoother and come across a lot more confident in the interview. You want to also prepare answers to dodge illegal questions. I don't think generally employers intentionally ask illegal questions. Sometimes you may have been asked one before and didn't realize it was actually an illegal question. We have, again, some software in our office to assist with answering those as well as handouts. There's a checklist of things listed on the next few slides of things that you can do in preparation for the interview so you can sort of have a list to go by, like, have I done everything I need to do? Of course, the first thing is to review your written answers to the most common interview questions. You couldn't possibly necessarily prepare for every single question that you may get asked, but the more preparation you put in with the common questions and practicing that SAC method, you'll be more effective throughout the interview. You can put your SAC responses on 3x5 cards and take them with you, and then also prepare open-ended probing questions that dig into what the employer's needs, problems, and challenges may be. Continued here on the next slide, you can prepare a portfolio if you need one, and then you could also possibly burn it to a CD to give to the employer. Make sure you pair your wardrobe. You have your power greeting. and as well as an appropriate closing for the interviewer. And in the closing of your interview, you want to ask for the job. And then the bottom line is, if you don't practice, you won't probably do as well as you may have wanted to do. So you want to make sure that you practice, practice, practice. That's the most important key to being successful in interviews. The more you practice answering questions, the better you will do in the long run. Some other things for the interview checklist, make sure you know where you're going. drive by where you're supposed to go. The worst thing that could happen is you're on the way to the interview, take a wrong turn because you thought you knew where you were going, and you end up late because you didn't know exactly where you were going. So make sure you know exactly where you're going, exactly where the interview will be. You want to not get to the interview too early, and definitely don't want to get there late. And so suggested that you walk in no more than 10 minutes early. And again, at the end of your interview, you're going to ask for the job or second interview, whichever may be most appropriate in that particular situation. As you practice, you want to, your practice for the interview will be based on what you know about the company and the position. What are they looking for? Write down your answers to each question. Read your answers out loud and revise them until they present you in the best light. Sometimes if you don't practice your interview, answering the interview questions beforehand, you may answer the question, but you didn't present yourself in the best light. And so it's really important to try to perfect the responses that you're going to give for, again, those common interview questions. And reading them out loud is hugely important because sometimes what pops in our head doesn't always come out of our mouths exactly as we had anticipated. So I always encourage, in addition to that, practice in the mirror so you can actually see yourself answering those questions. And then we have, again, the software, The Perfect Interview, where you can actually practice interview questions online. Here are some examples of how to answer the greatest weakness question. I have a strong need for organization and order. I found, however, that not everyone appreciates my wanting to know what's expected of me. Another response to the greatest question could be, I prefer to think of it as not really an area of weakness, but as an area I'm working to improve. For example, I would like to improve my communication skills. Okay, so you answer the question, but you don't say, like for the first example with the strong need for organization, they possibly could be saying they're kind of a control, they like to have control. But you wouldn't want to say that in the interview. I get frustrated if I don't know what's going on. But you just say, you know, I like to be organized because I like to know what's expected of me. And really at the root of that, that's what that is. We're going to go through some what to wear, and I'm sure most of you probably know a lot of this information, so I'm not going to give a whole lot of detail here, but these general guidelines to go by. You want, of course, select apparel, fragrances, jewelry, and hairstyle that do not detract from your professional image. You want the interviewer's attention to be focused on what it is you say and your qualifications and not your hair, the piece of hair that keeps getting in your eye, or the scent that you have on that's too strong, or the clothes that are not as flattering to you. You want to make sure, of course, that you're neat, clean, professional, and then there's some pictures on the next couple of, in the next slide or so, and it has some examples. Here's some other what-to-wear guidelines. You want to choose, again, professional apparel that you like, that you receive positive feedback from people who are knowledgeable about the industry standard or that specific company policy. And what basically we mean by that is pick stuff that possibly the people who work at that business would wear. And I always tell people, put on that suit that you feel good in, that people compliment you on. You feel confident when you put that outfit on. You want to dress like the employees who work at that place would dress if they were going to the interview. An example is if you're going to be in corporate America, like in banking or something, you obviously would want to probably wear a full suit with a tie if you're a guy. And if you're a female, you want to wear, again, a suit with the basic black, blue kind of thing. But if you were going to an interview for a construction company, those people, even at the corporate level, may not necessarily wear suits and ties to work every day. They may wear, like, you know, khaki pants and a button-down collared shirt. And so you want to kind of mirror that if you were going to an interview and not go to that interview in a full suit and tie, perhaps. Some additional things, if you have body piercings, you want to take those out for the interview. If you have visible tattoos, you want to cover them to avoid distraction. Make sure that you are, of course, neat, clean, and that your clothes fit well. Make sure they're not too big or too small. Either would be extremely uncomfortable for you and distracting while whether you're sitting or standing or walking. And then there's those pictures that I mentioned before. And you can actually access the University of Washington web link on one of the other slides. So we have one for the women, and then we also have one there for the men. And those are just rated from least recommended to most recommended. Of course, again, you have to consider the industry that you're going to be interviewing for and make adjustments as needed. You want to make, of course, a good first and last impression. So the little things like making direct eye contact, smiling, knowing and using the names of your interviewers, and extending your hand first to match their handshake are things that sometimes I think people take for granted throughout the interview process. But again, shows a certain level of professionalism as well as confidence. And you want the employers to know that you're confident, not overly confident necessarily, but confident in that you know what it is you have to offer. You're selling yourself to them. So you want to let them know that they would be making an investment in a quality product. Now, one of the things you want to do after your interview is completed is just do an evaluation of yourself. After you've left the interview, but you can do this in the parking lot in your car, ask yourself some questions. Okay, how did it go? What did you do or say that you feel went really, really well? And what did you do or say that you think you may need to practice a little bit more on or needs a little bit of improvement? Also, what needs or challenges or problems did you uncover through your probing questions? What questions did they ask you that you were not prepared for? And then what would you do differently to demonstrate your value? After interview evaluation, you also want to ask yourself if you were able to create a positive image and what things were associated with that. What answers to questions need to be short next time? Some questions you may tend to ramble on, and you think to yourself, wow, I needed to cut that off like 2 minutes ago. And then what seemed to be the interviewer's greatest areas of concern? You may get a consistent pattern of questions regarding a particular area, so you can know when you go back and assess how did the interview go, what you may need to do different or say differently, rather, in regards to those questions. What could you have said to minimize or eliminate those concerns? Now, for follow-up, you want to complete an after-interview questionnaire to help you improve so that you can make note of the things that you did extremely well and, again, the things that you want to work to improve. You do want to send a thank-you note to each person who met with you. We get a lot of questions about that now with current students, like, do I really have to send, like, a handwritten thank-you note? Or I interview with a group of people, do I send each of them a note or do I send one letter to the entire group? I generally encourage both. Send an official letter to the search committee chairperson, perhaps, thanking the team for their time in interviewing you. And then also you could follow up and send individual handwritten thank you notes to each person. And then you want to make a follow-up phone call to the decision maker asking about their progress in filling the position at an appropriate time, typically 1, 2, maybe weeks after. In some instances, during the interview process, they may actually tell you when they expect to make a decision or to contact candidates to make them aware of their status. We're going to move into salary negotiations. As you prepare for dealing with questions related to salary, you're going to need to do some research beforehand. And one of the questions you need to answer is, what is the average national, state, and local salary for this position? You wouldn't want to go in an interview and ask for the salary for the national average when in your state it's $10,000 below the national average, but you're asking for what the national average is. you might not get that because they may not have it. So you want to compare the cost of living to your current situation and to the new location, particularly if you're going to be moving from one big city to somewhere else or from one state to another, and definitely if you're doing that internationally. What salary do you need or want? That's something that you have to consider. How much do you need to live off of? And then, of course, you want to be, you know, comfortable, so you don't want just what you need probably, but be realistic in terms of how much money you do need to make. And then at what salary point should you reject the offer? If you know you need to make a certain amount to at least meet your monthly living expenses, if they offer you way below that, then you already know that that's just not going to work for you. And if they can't do anything to adjust to give you more money, then you probably don't need to consider beyond that because it's just not going to work for you. Also, you don't want to negotiate salary until they are ready to make you an offer. If, in fact, they ask you how much you are expecting or require or whatever, you need to counteract that question with, are you offering me this position? So always negotiate salary first and then the benefits. One of the key things is that the person who mentions a number or a figure first loses. So as the job seeker, you never want to just offer up, well, I want to make this much. Let them tell you it's like how much they budgeted, for example, for that position. Okay? So these are some questions on the next slide there, some questions to help you get a figure from them. You can ask them, what salary range have you budgeted for this position? What salary could someone with my skills and abilities expect to make? What salary range does this position qualify for? You don't want to sell yourself short by giving a number. For example, if you ask for $40,000 and they budgeted $60,000, you just cheated yourself out of $20,000. So you want to make sure that you don't give a number first, but that you try to probe from them to get them to tell you what that figure is. We offer in our office an opportunity on the next slide there for mock interviews. And if you are local or close by and you ever want to schedule one of those, we'd be more than happy to conduct a mock interview with you. And you can simply call the Career Center to schedule that. We'll evaluate you on it, give you some feedback and additional tips and information. And we can also, if you would like, we have the equipment to videotape the interview for you so you could actually have it on tape to review it. Our contact information is listed here on the last slide. We actually got through that much faster than I anticipated, but we are going to take questions. And we're located, of course, here in Greenville on the corner of 5th and Jarvis. And if you have specific questions, you can call our office at 252-328-6050. And we do have a toll-free number, which is 1-800-391-0506. And a lot of the services and resources that we have available in-house are available via the Career Center website, which is www.ecu.edu/3careers, careers/. At this time, I'll just take any questions anyone may have.
I have a question, Katrina.
Yes.
On slide 30 of 47 on the interview checklist, asking mm-hmm. for the job, what words can you use to do that?
You know what? I actually like to encourage people to take their power greeting and to use it three different ways. One, just as your power greeting. Two, to answer the tell me about yourself question. And then thirdly, at the end of the interview, just sort of reformatting it and making sort of like a closing sales statement where you incorporate into that asking for the job. An example could be like, well, I've really enjoyed the opportunity to interview with all of you today. I really feel like with my experiences and the skill sets that I have that I'd be able to make a contribution here at this organization, and I would like the opportunity to work here with this, you could rephrase it 100 different ways, but that's basically you've asked for the job. I would like to work here. I would like, I would really enjoy this position, and I would, welcome the opportunity to work here.
Thank you.
Something like that. You're welcome.
Katrina?
Yes.
I have a question.
Okay.
when you go for interviews, particularly with an employer, sometimes you'll go to about two or three rounds of interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And typically my experience has been that throughout the interview, each round they're asking or they're looking and probing for more information about you and to see mm-hmm. if you've done your homework, I guess, on the company. Do you mm-hmm. have tips or ways that you can step it up or raise your game, so to speak, to the next level as you continue on and further throughout the interviews? Does that make sense?
Yes. I actually, in my job for ECU, I went through several rounds of interviews. I think, again, going back and this, you know, reiterating the point of making sure, you know, you do your research. The further you dig in terms of getting information about the employer, it's going to bring up things for you that you can, you know, ask them about. And, again, aligning your experiences and skills to try to fit whatever it is they need. The other really key part of that, I think, is who are you interviewing with? There might, you know, is it people at different levels within the organization? If you know, in fact, that you are going to be interviewing with people at different levels in the organization, their vestment in that interview process is going to be different. Like what it is they want to know from you as a candidate, you want to consider, okay, if you were interviewing at a bank and you were going to be like the head loan officer or something and you interview with somebody from different departments throughout the bank, their interest in how they work with that position, their questions are going to be different based on how your job would affect their job. And so that would be the what I would suggest as the approach, like who are the people I'm interviewing with, what role do they play in the organization, and what might be of importance to them in terms of how their department or their position would interact with the position that I would be in. And that way you can prep yourself to answer the questions based on what you anticipate being their areas of interest, like what do they really want to know about me and how we're doing this position as it relates to the position they are in.
Thank you very much. That really answered my question. Thank you.
Okay, good. Anyone else have questions?
I have a question.
Okay.
About the 3x5 cards that
mm-hmm.
you put your SACs on.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mean just take those and review them before the interview, or do you mean?
Yes, you don't want.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't want to take those into the interview and, like, sit and read from them. But just as a quick note, like, in practicing, those would be extremely helpful in practicing. And, like, if you want to go through them again, like if you were sitting in your car, you know, before you went in for the actual interview, you know, you just kind of quick go through them. But you definitely don't want to have them, like, at the interview table or something going through those. Good question.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else have any burning questions? Okay. It doesn't sound like anyone else has any further questions. I'm going to put Paul back on to close out. I thank you all again. Should you have need of our services, please don't hesitate to contact us. We'd be more than happy to assist you in the Career Center. And I wish you all the best in your future interviewing endeavors. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Again, this is Paul Clifford from the East Carolina Alumni Association, thanking you for participating in today's Pirate Career Call. If you are interested in future Alumni Association events, please visit us online at www.piratealumni.com or give us a call toll-free at 800-ECU-GRAD. Thanks, and have a great day. Go Pirates.
Thank you.